I'm Yoon-Suk Kim from Samsung and one of Tizen software architects. And I am very well informed about Tizen licensing status and Tizen licensing policy and the something like that. So I will present the Tizen licensing status in this session.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a good evening since the evening event last night. I see some faces here that were yesterday still at the Hackers Lounge when I left. My name is Thiago Macieira. I work for Intel. I've been with open source for 15 years now, something like that. I worked before on the Qt project. I created the Qt project and created the governance for that project. Now I'm trying to replicate that effort for Tizen. We're finally being able to present some details on how this is going to work, starting with Tizen 3.0. So I'll start with my part. We'll talk about the governance, the governance model for Tizen 3.0. So just to be clear, this is a work in progress. The model is not finished. We've just started discussions. We're actually, to be quite honest, hoping that your suggestions will help us improve it. The discussions are ongoing. We started. We have the good draft. We know how an open source project should work. We know how open source projects behave. So there isn't much discussion there. But there are a few things that are specific to Tizen that we haven't been able to agree on yet, and we would like your input before we set it on stone. So I'm not going to present the items we haven't discussed yet. This is not the content of the presentation. I'm just going to show you the parts that are more or less agreed upon, and then we can begin to work. Yesterday in his keynote, keynote address, Mark Skarpness, he talked about how Tizen 3.0 is finally ready to accept contributions from platform developers like, I hope, yourselves. I hope that you can continue to help us or begin to help us if you haven't yet. And this is the model whereby you're going to be able to do it. So the objective of this presentation, of my part of this presentation, as well as the model, is that to present how the developer community working on Tizen, and let's be clear here, I'm talking about the developer community that works developing the Tizen platform itself, but all the way from bootloaders, the kernel. We can talk about libc, middleware, base graphics layer, OpenGL integration, the API itself, all the way to web runtimes and web APIs. I'm specifically excluding application development. Application development is not part of the Tizen platform, the Tizen OS. So this model I'm presenting is the model by which this developer community, the platform developer community, will work to produce this next version of Tizen, as well as many other versions to come if we're successful. The idea is that community members, such as myself and yourselves, know what to expect, how to interact, and how companies that do invest in Tizen, that do want to get something out of it, release Tizen devices, know how to get their contributions accepted, who to interact with, how to participate in the decision-making progress. First of all, let me just start with overall guidelines. I hope nothing here surprises anybody. So I'm just asking, if you read the bullet points here, it was just like everybody must be respectful of everybody else. I'm asking that people participate in discussions. I do want discussions. I do want people to share their ideas, their technical expertise, but I want them to show it on the technical matters. Nobody should be attacking anybody because of personal relationships. We want to make sure that the community rules are followed. And we have our technical steering group members who are going to be setting the overall long-term direction for the project, and we would like all the community members to follow those rules and accomplish the goals set forth by the TSG. So very simple. Please participate. please help out new people when they come. Offer technical guidance, offer technical expertise. Do provide your expertise even when you disagree with something. Do provide us with your ideas. The more ideas we have, the better the project will be. And please be mindful that if you disrespect the rules, we have people like myself, like other people in the community management who will be paying attention, and we might have to do something about it. What I'm presenting here, distributed by package, by Git repository in Tizen, and we're using these tools basically. If you're on open source, you've played with this before. We're using Garrett for managing our Git repositories. We're using Jira as our bug tracking tool, and also for task reporting, and emails. There's nothing more special than this. Everybody should have an already email address. Just start contributing. So how this works per project, this is how more or less it will be. There are three levels here. I'm going to go into detail of each one, and two supporting roles. Of course, this is per project. Overall, we have lots of projects inside in Tizen. And somehow these people need to get together and agree on how to put Tizen together. That's not part of my presentation. That's actually the points where we're still discussing and trying to figure out how to make this scale without creating a burden on people. And to get started, developers are everybody. Anybody who wants and has the skill to contribute can. Period. I don't have to say anything more here. Anybody who wants to participate, who wants to participate in reviews, either with code or with just offering technical expertise, just join the mailing lists, join our tooling, and you can start participating. Moreover, I'd like to ask everybody who is a developer who starts to contribute to act as a reviewer, which I'm going to get into details in a second. What I want you to do is to participate, to start reviewing, offering this expertise, which you're already entitled to. So the last point here is you should behave as a reviewer in all aspects. Right? I want everybody, even if you're not a reviewer, to participate, offer your expertise. So what exactly is the reviewer then? Well, the reviewer is a developer, so has all of the rights and all of the duties of the developer. But in addition to that, the reviewer can make decisions on code contributions, can say yay or nay to a contribution, saying this is good or this is not good. This contribution makes technical sense. It's good. It's solving the problem it asked itself to support to solve. Or no, this is actually incorrect. We cannot accept because of this and these reasons. So we ask only people that when they're sending their own contributions, they do not approve themselves. And then when you do have, for a reason, a rejection, and these are normal, do not be afraid of them, that you do provide a constructive feedback. Why something cannot be accepted should be based on technical grounds. Explain to the contributor why that is the case. That might be a temporary thing, might be a long-term thing, but it should be clear why something was rejected. Now, the way this works is that a reviewer, in order for a contribution to get in, it needs to have at least one plus two review saying this is good. In addition to the review saying this is good, the maintainer of a package needs to say when the right time to integrate is. So I'm going to get into the workflow in a few minutes. The maintainer will look at all the contributions that have been approved that say, yes, these are good. Technically speaking, they are correct. The maintainer, being the person responsible for the quality of the particular package, as well as that package fulfilling its goals according to what the long-term strategic goals were, that maintainer is the one who will actually make the contribution get in. The maintainer then looks at everything that has come and decides in which order and what time those would happen. Now, we created an exception here, which is that for high-activity projects, projects where there are a lot of contributions going in, a lot of activity going on, the maintainer might be overloaded with work. So what we created is a possibility that the maintainer will delegate that power of integration to technical experts, probably senior engineers who know the package, who know the activities, know the long-term goals of that domain, and say, well, I can help out. These people are trusted to make the decision on behalf of the maintainer. The maintainer is going to be somebody who, because he must ensure the quality of the package, is also required to participate in the release process. When these guys here, the release engineers, for example, start creating images, start doing smoke testing, they might find issues. And then the maintainer is responsible for knowing what went in his package and be able to react technically to fix bugs or to know how to proceed in order to not derail a Tizen release, for example. Release engineers will then simply take the existing set of packages, produce testable images, and will make sure that everything produces a release. And they will do that with the help of QA engineers. QA engineers, just like all of the other developers, can submit code, can participate. But in addition to that, they have the specific role of taking releases, pre-releases, and ensuring the quality. So they will take everything from testable images all the way to the final image, which we've just done, for example, for 2.1. That is a process that might take a long time, and these people are going to be testing a lot of packages. Any questions so far? Let me see if I can help you understand how this works with this little diagram here. So on the top line here, there we have a developer. Developer simply writes code, right? Developer will take existing code that he has or new code and will submit to our tooling, which is called Garrett. In Garrett, reviewers, who are anybody who has already the power of giving a +2 signal, will either say that this is okay or not okay. If the contribution is not technically correct yet, this reviewer will offer suggestions and will say why this cannot be now or whatever. Let me make clear again that anybody can offer suggestions. Anybody can offer reviews. They can, unless they are on the specific level of reviewer, they cannot make a binding decision. But everybody can, and I really ask you that you do participate and offer suggestions to make the better code as possible. Now, if that contribution has been accepted, has been approved, many of those will pile up at this point in time here, after the contribution has been approved. The maintainer on the third lane here will look at it and say, these contributions are now in the right order. My package can accept them now for these and these reasons. I will integrate those contributions into the code. He's the one who knows how to integrate. He knows the ordered contributions. He knows the right time to do it because, of course, he's responsible for the quality. He knows when to do that. Now, of course, some packages that have very little activity, this might be very simple. If there's a lot of activity, this might be multiple people, like I said before. And finally, the release engineer at the bottom here will take packages as they've been approved by maintainers, the contributions have come in, and they will do smoke testing to verify if everything's correct. If everything is not correct, he will offer suggestions, go back to the beginning. If everything is correct, we have releasable images, and this is where the release process begins with QA people. And just to clarify more or less how things are going to work, day-to-day operational decisions, contributions, are they okay, are they not, should they be improved here and there, here's how you do things, these are in the code review tools and mailing lists. More or less long-term decisions, let's say medium-sized decisions, they will be done on mailing lists by consensus. And of course, longer term decisions, they will be done with the TSG. They will invite any necessary expert people to participate, and they will let you know how things work. Okay, so I'll let Yunsu talk about the licensing policy now.
Okay. Let's talk about Tizen licensing policy. What's the Tizen licensing policy? The first rule is that new framework component which have been developed inside Tizen are licensed under Apache 2.0. And the second rule is that upstream components which is pulled from existing open source project are licensed under the original open source license. The third rule is the new SDK components which have been developed inside Tizen are licensed under Eclipse public license. This diagram shows Tizen repository status in point of view license. Roughly speaking, the whole Tizen software, whole Tizen software can be categorized into four blocks, such as framework and API, kernel and device adaptation, build tools, and SDK. The framework and API is composed of 548 gates, 8 components, and among them, 235 components have been developed inside Tizen. Most of them are licensed under Apache 2.0 according to the Tizen licensing policy in the previous slide. And most components out of 83 components of SDK have been developed inside Tizen, and most of them are licensed under Eclipse public license. I think this diagram shows clearly our intention that we are seriously contributing new component to Tizen under various open source licenses. And let's talk about Tizen SDK license. What is the Tizen SDK license? The license is defined for protecting several proprietary components at the time of Tizen 1.0 alpha release, but not for restricting the use of open source software. You can see this fact in the license statement. The section 5 of the license clearly states that open source license shall take precedence over the rights and restrictions granted in this agreement. As you can see in the quoted license text, you can use Tizen SDK only for Tizen application development. But you shall not copy, redistribute, or sublicense the Tizen SDK. I understand these terms may be a big concern to open source community, but many things have been changed since then. First of all proprietary components inside IDE have become open source software, even though emulator images still have some proprietary components. All IDE components, including ones which have been developed inside Tizen, are licensed under various open source licenses, with exception of only two modules. And on top of that, Tizen maintainers are continuously working on making it possible to build Tizen SDK on public repository, The objective of these activities is to enable open source community to take over the development of the Tizen SDK at any time. So considering this whole situation, we can see there is no point to maintain the Tizen SDK license. So we've decided to remove the license totally until next minor update of Tizen SDK. And next, let's talk about content license. The content from developer's guide are linked to this license. The license states that contents are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license with brand feature exception. As you may know, the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license is the most free license among Creative Commons licenses. And very similar terms are applied to content on the Tizen website. So according to the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, these are what you are free to do. You can share, you can remix, you can even make commercial use of the work without any confirmation from us. For example, you can write a book based on developer's guide without any confirmation from us. You can just write a book because you are entitled to do so according to the license. Under the only one condition, you should keep intact the copyright notices and original author and the title of the work. For example, you can describe your work as a French translation of the title of the work by the name of the original author, or screenplay based on the title of the work by the name of original author. If you want to use Tizen-related brand features, you'd better to access this URL. Finally, let's talk about Flora license. What is Flora license? The Flora license is basically very similar to the Apache 2.0 license with one exception about patent. According to the section of the license, section 2 of the license, you can copy, you can modify, you can redistribute, you can sublicense the source code. But Flora license grants patents only to Tizen certified platform that passes Tizen compliance tests. These license grants encourages companies using Tizen to contribute their IPs to Tizen while limiting the use of IP to Tizen certified platform. Releasing such IPs under open source license is may not an option for many companies, including Samsung, due to various reasons. So Flora license is kind of middle ground between complete proprietary and open source. Then why did we define this license? Our intention was to encourage Tizen member companies to contribute their patent to Tizen project until open source community will eventually find out non-patented implementation. And as a result, to differentiate the Tizen platform from other platforms very fast. Then, as an open source developer, you might come to a question like, how can I find Flora license components? You can do like this. You just git clone your interested component by following this guideline and do just grep. The Flora license pattern will match the Flora license URL in the boilerplate code. For example, the framework OSP UI FW component has 1845 source files, and among them, only 4 files are licensed under Flora license. As you can see in this slide, Tizen maintainers open Flora license component transparently and publicly. This is the real statistics about Flora license. Only 2.36% of all source code from framework and SDK are licensed under Flora license. Tizen maintainers continuously try hard to reduce the number of Flora license source files and make them well separated in architecture point of view. The last thing I want to mention about Flora license is that application developers and Tizen device manufacturers should have some knowledge on Flora license components because it affects Tizen compliance. Features implemented by Flora license components are all optional. Okay. No problem. Tizen device manufacturers may decide not to provide such optional features due to some internal reasons. So application developers should describe required optional features inside application manifest.xml file. It would be better to make your application work even without such optional features. But if you can't avoid such things, then you should describe that fact. Okay, I'd like to make conclusions. I explained Tizen license policy so that you can quickly grasp the overall picture of Tizen licensing status. And I also explained Tizen SDK license. The important thing about the license is open source license take precedence over the Tizen SDK license. The more important thing about the license is that the license will be shortly removed. And content license, all the content will be licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license with brand feature exception. And you can even make commercial use of the original work. And I explained what is Flora license, why did we define Flora license, how Flora license affects Tizen compliance. As I mentioned before, Flora license components will be open transparently, and Tizen maintainers continuously try to reduce the number of Flora license source files. That's all what I mentioned. And if you have any questions, please use the microphone. Any questions?
For either of us?
Can you guys open the slide with the reviews flow?
The workflow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one. So this not okay and okay, is that plus one, minus one, or is that plus two, minus two?
So the idea here is that it cannot proceed on the okay line until you have a plus two. Right? So the binding reports are plus two are okay, minus two are not okay. You cannot proceed. You have to go on those directions.
So
now, as soon as there is a minus one or a plus one, the contributor might decide this. Sorry. Well, as soon as there's a minus one, the contributor might decide I actually can and should improve my contribution. So the contributor is allowed to do the cycle already.
So basically, the left loop is minus one.
So you can do this with a minus one and decide I'm going to iterate and do it better. The same way, if there's a plus one, you can decide, oh, I actually know something better. I will do it again and provide the newer version because that will increase my chances of getting a plus two. So this requires a plus two here, and a minus two implies this.
Okay, after minus two, we still can rework the change?
You can rework the change if you're working. That's the point. Whenever you get a rejection saying this is not okay, there needs to be a very good technically founded reason why. So if I'm telling you your change is incorrect because of these reasons, I cannot accept your function, for example, your contribution would break existing Tizen API and would break tests and break applications and devices, I will tell you I cannot accept this. Now, if you can work it differently so that we avoid that problem, we can go to a plus two later. Does this answer the question?
Yes, thanks.
Can I ask what's the example of the Flora license Git?
The example of Flora license Git are here. Actually, I showed this slide. The framework OSP UI FW means a native UI framework. It has four Flora licensed source files, and let's see. So these two modules are licensed under Flora license. The Eclipse extended plugin for native app and native UI builder. Does this answer your question? Any other questions?
I actually have a question for you, Nyunsu. Mm-hmm. Is the Flora license allowed on every component of the Tizen project? Or is it allowed, imagine I'm contributing a new thing, mm-hmm. or is it allowed only on specific parts of the Tizen project?
Specific project.
So let me show you the, you showed this before, right? You have here, where was the diagram? There. For example, am I allowed to contribute something with a Flora license to every part of it, including kernel and device adaptation, or am I only allowed to do it in specific activities?
Actually, according to the Tizen licensing policy, The Flora license is allowed for framework and API and SDK, not the whole things, because the kernel is basically GPL, so we cannot put something of Flora license into kernel.
Okay.
I also have a question about the Flora license. I'm a little bit confused about the use of the Flora license. You said that's there to protect some IPs, patent, that kind of issues, mm-hmm. to restrict the use of some components. But at the same time, you're saying the team is trying to reduce the number of Flora license in Tizen. So is it encouraged to use Flora license, or is it discouraged to use Flora license?
Actually, it is allowed for some exceptional cases. It's not allowed for normal cases. If one to protect, it's really want to protect some IPs, then it is allowed to use Flora license for those kind of exceptional cases. Does this answer your question?
So with regard to the Flora license and app developers, there's no possibility of things like GPL taint where you, if you choose an open source license for your application, where it could possibly be tainted by Flora license. Is there any concern about that?
Actually, the even if you use the Flora licensed component with your applications, the Flora license component is very similar to the Apache licensed module. So you're not you can choose whichever license, open source license for your applications. It's very similar to Apache terms in view of usage of those kind of modules.
Okay. So, what is the process for becoming a reviewer or a maintainer? Is that defined by the steering group?
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking. I have some ideas. I've discussed them with other people. Unfortunately, we have not yet come to a conclusion, so that's why I didn't tell you how this is going to work. What I can tell you is this. The guiding principle on becoming a reviewer is that you already are acting as a reviewer. So new reviewers should be people who are acting as reviewers, who have for some time done the right decisions, implemented the guidelines of the project. And I really, really want this to be a non-burdensome way of doing. So it should be very simple, should be a nomination process, and take very little time. The specific details, I hope to be able to tell you soon. Right now, we don't have them. What I do ask you is, if you have suggestions on how to do this, if you have experience with other open source communities and you have how they do it on a non-cumbersome way, let me know, let us know, and we will take that into consideration. Is the answer? Can you?
So another question regarding Flora. So the distinction was made earlier between mandatory and optional Flora components, and it was encouraged to the application developers in the manifest file to note the same. The question is, or the request would be to have a clear list of what is mandatory versus what is deemed optional. I think that would be extremely helpful to see.
Every optional features is described at the APR references, and also all those optional features are listed at the Tizen compliance specification.
Have you discussed if it makes sense for you to share the maintenance of some packages with other distributions so that...
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Do you have discussed if it's maybe possible that some packages gets maintained on the same source base together with, for instance, OpenSUSE, Fedora, or other distributions?
It's a very good question. I don't think we have discussed this before, have we? I don't think we've discussed this before. I think we should sit down and talk a little more after the session and see how we can share the burden. Of course, we would very much like to share the burden.
Okay.
I think we're running out of time. So thank you, everybody, for coming. We're available for more questions afterwards or in the breaks. Thank you so much.